Today, March 9th, is my dad's birthday. He died a few months ago, and when I saw the date for this Stoop story, I wasn't sure if I could do it or if I should do it or not. But then I thought about my dad, and I know he would have wanted me to be here. My dad and I disagreed on a lot of things, but he was always proud of me and always supported my work. I am the 7th of 9 children. My dad went to medical school on the doctor's draft, and when we were growing up, he would bring us with him to the hospital on rounds. If one of his patients was delivering a baby, he'd ask if we could watch. He'd say, "Isn't this beautiful?" I would gag, nauseous from the smells. 7 of my 8 siblings went into medicine. I went to law school. My dad was still proud. In July 2004, I had been working as a farmworker lawyer in Florida for more than a year. My clients were the women and men who pick tomatoes, who harvest citrus, and who plant strawberries. Most of them weren't paid what they were owed. Some of them experienced workplace accidents or suffered from pesticide exposure, and almost all of them were guest workers from Mexico. As guest workers, they were recruited in their home communities to work in the United States on short-term visas tied to their employers. I loved my job, but it was sometimes hard to connect with workers when I visited them in the labor camps. Sometimes they didn't trust who I was, or at least one occasion, an armed foreman chased me off the labor camp. And when I did connect with workers who were needing legal support, oftentimes they had to return to Mexico because the terms of their visa required it, and they could no longer pursue their cases. Such was the case of Francisco, a son, a brother, a farm worker from central Mexico who worked in Florida and who wasn't paid what he was owed. I loved Francisco, and I loved all of my farmworker clients. And I was hungry to understand where they were coming from and to improve my Spanish so that I could better communicate with them. So, after winning a small grant from a local bar foundation, I left for Zacatecas, Mexico to spend a month there. My husband, Jonathan, came too. When I arrived in Zacatecas, I was completely obsessed with my job. I took Spanish classes during the day, and in my spare time, I would walk around town putting up signs that said, "Vas contratado a los Estados Unidos? Are you going contract to the U.S?" inviting workers to know your rights meetings. At one of the first meetings that I held, I walked into the room, and it was a big salon, municipal salon, with concrete walls and plastic folding chairs, and it was a sea of white cowboy hats. And as I began to look around the room at the faces beneath the brims of those cowboy hats, I realized I recognized many of those workers. They were workers like Francisco, who had worked in Florida for notorious labor contractors. These were people who had been rumored to not just mistreat their workers, but to kill them and throw them in canals. And I had visited these workers almost once a week in their employer-provided housing in Florida. And they never said anything to me. They just looked at the ground. But here in Mexico, as I shared the very same rights information, these workers rose to their feet and demanded that something be done about how they had been treated on the job. And for me, that was so powerful. And it made me realize that for us to address this issue, we need to arm migrant workers with rights information and strategies to defend themselves before they leave for the United States and remove the border as a barrier to justice for migrants who have returned home. Within a year, my husband Jonathan and I had moved to Zacatecas to open a migrant rights organization there. Centro de los Derechos del Migrante, or CDM, officially opened its doors on Labor Day in 2005. When I told my parents I was moving to Zacatecas, they said, "Zaca what?" They had not heard of it. But my dad was among the first people to visit us there, landing himself in the hospital after eating elotes off the street. And despite a week-long stay at the hospital on the Calle de Arriba, he came back a few more times over the next few years, including for the birth of my son, Leo. I remember feeling really nervous to tell him, an OBGYN who had delivered more than 20,000 babies, that I would not be coming home for the delivery. But his response was, "You know, I've delivered babies all over the world. It's the same everywhere. If that's what you want to do, that's what you should do." But it didn't stop him from arriving in Zacatecas in time for the birth. As immigration debates in the United States were raging in 2009, CDM decided that we wanted to open an office in the U.S. to bring a worker-centered, transnational perspective to the policy debates around labor and migration. We wanted to be in Maryland, not just to be close to D.C., but also to be close to the women from Central America who pick crab meat on the Eastern Shore, the men from Puebla and Veracruz who assemble and operate fair and carnival rides at our state fair in Timonium, and the people from Guanajuato who mow lawns in Baltimore and our suburbs. Later that year, in 2009, my husband Jonathan and I, our son Leo, and our daughter Clara moved to Baltimore. Baltimore, the city where my grandma, for whom my daughter is named, grew up in an immigrant family. Now, CDM works in Baltimore. We have offices in Baltimore, Mexico City, and Oaxaca. And we support migrant worker organizing and advocacy along the whole migrant stream. We've provided legal support to thousands of workers and recovered millions in unpaid wages. But with increasing immigration enforcement and the expansion of low-wage guest worker programs, this work feels more crucial and more critical than ever. I first went to Mexico 12 years ago because I thought I could learn to understand my clients better, that I would be able to connect with them better. But now, more than 12 years later, I go back with my family every summer because Mexico has become part of what I do and who I am. When, you know, I really honestly never thought I would be here in Baltimore, just blocks from where my father used to spend his summers at Druid Hill Park. And I just want to say happy birthday, Dad, and I hope I'm still making you proud. Love you.